Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 105. 105.
Yeah.
I'm pretty proud of that number.
Yeah, why?
I don't know. Because I feel like it's... We're past just celebrating 100 and we're over that hump and we're continuing strong. And, you know, I just want to say that we've been getting a lot of email lately.
Yeah.
A lot of messages and a lot of suggestions and a lot of people just sending goodwill. And we got a great response from our Mission Impossible episode last week.
It's just somehow triggered something. I don't know. It's interesting.
It's true.
A lot of response.
I knew it was going to. Because even though we were jazzed about the movie, we were still very critical of it.
Yeah.
Because that's just us. That's who we are. But it was just really interesting because it was weird because it was, for some reason, that episode triggered a few people to reach out who never reached out before.
Okay.
Like a few people said, like, hey, I've never told you this before, or I've never emailed you, or I've never tweeted you, or something like that. But I just want to let you know, I really enjoyed Nerd Nuptial, and I enjoy the chemistry and everything like that. And it's just been, we really appreciate you guys.
Yeah, thank you so much. It always feels good too to actually like hear from people who listen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to know that we're not just talking here; we're talking to someone. So thank you.
It's true. Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, like sometimes you may feel like you're talking into a void, but we're always just talking to each other.
Yeah.
You know, having these conversations.
Absolutely.
This time the mic is just turned on. If this is your first time listening, this we are a married couple, and this show, Nerd Nuptial, is about our marriage, but looking at marriage through a nerdy lens and sometimes the opposite. And if you haven't listened to our Mission Impossible episode, Mission Impossible Fallout, the sixth one in the franchise, go back. It's episode 104. We had a great time.
Yeah, we did.
Recording it. It's over an hour long. And we have some divisive opinions. And we had a few people like contact us and say that we were crazy.
Yeah.
For thinking that way.
It's fun.
They were nice about it. It wasn't just like, oh, you're idiots. They were just like, no, what? Like, what? It's not a 98. It doesn't deserve a 98. But it was, yeah, so everybody should go back and watch it. And we appreciate everyone who reached out and who did listen.
Absolutely,
to it.
Absolutely, thank you.
So right now, mm-hmm. as we're recording this, it's the end of Star Trek Las Vegas.
Yes.
And I was actually at Star Trek Las Vegas for the 50th anniversary a couple years ago.
That's right. Yeah.
And it was my first big convention.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not true. My first big Star Trek convention.
Right. Like, we actually traveled together.
Yeah, I flew to Vegas, stayed with some friends, and we had a great time, and I loved it. But we're Chicago bound, and so you can't always go. You gotta, you know.
Right. We have a kid now.
We have a kid now. So, I mean, like, oh my gosh, we were at, we are at an art festival.
Yeah.
We're walking through, and we saw some amazing original pieces of art, and there was one where it's just like, I want that. I want it on my wall. I need that. It's an original. It's beautiful. It's abstract. I need it. And you didn't even want me to find out the price.
Nope. Well, we used to. And we used to like just drop cash on art and
on art,
not think twice about it. But now I'm like thinking about like, well, that could buy our babies some toys and some clothes.
Or like a gym membership.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
Like a museum membership
right,
for her. You know,
right,
because like
she's getting older now that she needs things to do, and so do I. And so, yeah. So now we don't really think about it that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so I can't always go to the conventions. I haven't gone to a convention, not even
since,
a small one since
yeah.
then.
Yeah. When you find another one so you can go.
Yeah, I'll think about it. They can get so expensive.
It's true.
And also, it's so hard not to buy merchandise. It's so hard because there's so much.
Yeah.
I mean, you have like airplane hangers full of everything that you could ever possibly imagine. And like,
with something that you love.
With something that you love.
Right.
Something that anybody would love. Even if you're a non-nerd, you would go there and you'd be like, oh, that's fun. That's interesting.
Right. That's something different.
You'd be able to find something that you liked. And some of it's pretty reasonably priced. Some of it's not. But yeah, it's just absolutely crazy what you can spend your money on as nerds. And I've been super jealous because I've been scrolling through my social feeds, my social media feeds, and just seeing all of my friends, you know, like in Vegas, at these conventions, you know, dressed up, and they have tons of cool merchandise. And I'm just like, oh.
Yeah,
you know,
it hurts a little bit.
It hurts a little bit. You wish you were there.
Yeah.
But the main reason why I'm bringing it up is because we had some crazy news that we heard a rumor about months ago, but no one really thought it was credible. And that is that there's going to be a new Star Trek series.
Not Discovery continuing.
Not just Discovery continue, which it is.
Right.
But a new Star Trek series. We don't know when it's going to come. Probably it's probably going to be a couple years because it's still in development. They haven't even written any scripts yet, I don't think.
Okay, so it'll be a while.
But it's a Captain Picard show.
That's crazy.
And it's in, and Patrick Stewart is coming back.
Because he's getting up there.
Oh, yeah. But he's immortal. We all know this. Sir Patrick Stewart is immortal. And so it's going to take place 20 years after Nemesis. And we're creeping up on 20 years after Nemesis. Because Nemesis, Star Trek Nemesis, the last Next Generation movie, came out in 2002.
Oh my gosh.
And we're halfway through 2018.
Yeah.
And insane. And I think it's going to take, like I said, it's going to take a couple years to come out. And so,
how do you feel about that as a fan?
Okay. So here's the thing, is that when I heard the rumor that that Patrick Stewart was going to come back and it's going to be a Captain Picard show, my gut instinct was, I think that's great that we're thinking about a post-Nemesis show. Everybody wants one. Everybody wants a post-Nemesis show.
With the TNG people.
Well, not even with the TNG. Like, just after Nemesis, we want 24th century or beyond.
Okay.
I think the fandom is tired of going back to the 23rd century or the 22nd century, because ever since Voyager ended and Nemesis ended, it's all been prequel stuff.
Okay.
For the past 16 years, all we've had is stuff that's taken place in the days of Kirk or before. And for a show, like, because I was raised in the 90s, the quote-unquote golden era of Trek, it constantly moved forward in linear fashion. Every year in our world was a year in theirs. And from 1987 to when Voyager went off the air, I think it was in 2000. I could be totally wrong. I can't remember. Maybe 2002, later, somewhere around in there. Nemesis was the last. So like ever since like 1987 to 2002, that was linear storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
Like those years. So basically my entire life up until 2002, every year in my life was a year in Star Trek.
It's pretty crazy.
And so there was character development. There was things happening in the universe, war, peace, discovery, moving forward. And then it just, squealed to a halt in 2002. And then we went backwards. And so even though it's been great, it's been a lot of fun, everybody has this urge to move forward because Star Trek is all about looking forward and moving forward and, you know, discovering new civilizations and everything like that. So the idea that it's going to be set in the time past Nemesis that we're past Nemesis is very appealing to me. But like I said, my gut reaction was leave Picard alone.
I get that. Especially since like it's a beloved character. Mm-hmm. And I feel like sometimes when they bring back beloved characters, it's almost like you're just going to screw it up, right?
Yeah, almost.
Like, I think about the X-Files. Revival, and it just was so upsetting to see those characters not progress the way that you wanted them to. And sometimes I think there's something to leaving the characters in your mind where you imagine that they would go versus actually seeing them.
Headcanon.
Yeah. And sometimes I feel like the people who developed them in their heyday, they don't always do them justice later on. It's like they almost want to like push the envelope or make them different, like or make them jaded in a way that you don't imagine that they ended up.
And that's the thing, like the only details that we have on it are that it takes place 20 years after Nemesis. Jean-Luc is no longer a captain.
Okay.
And
interesting.
It says that the events of his life have changed him.
Well, that can mean anything.
That could mean absolutely anything. Exactly. Like, the events of my life have changed me too.
Right.
You know, changed me for the better.
And it could be extreme or not. So, right.
And so my knee-jerk reaction is like, oh, well, that means it's probably going to be dark and gritty. And, you know, like, he's going to be jaded, like you just said. Mm-hmm. Like, you're afraid it's going to be jaded. And then another part of me is just like, well, they did say that the person who created, like, it has several creators, but they said that the main creator is Kristen Beyer, who is an author,
mm-hmm.
and she is, I think, most widely known for the Star Trek Voyager continuing mission novels. So, like, she wrote the events of Voyager after Voyager ended, and I've read those. I read not all of them, but some of them, and I enjoyed them. She's a great writer, and I think she's a good storyteller, and I think the thing that really comes across in her writing is she loves the characters.
Oh, well, that's good.
She's respectful to the characters. She cares about the characters. She knows what... I don't want to phrase it. She knows what fandom wants, but I think she knows what fandom expects.
Okay.
And she can play with that while not placating that.
Okay. Well, that's promising then, if they're choosing someone like that. Although a lot can be messed up with producers and studios and everything like that.
It's true.
But at least they're kind of going in the right direction.
I think so. And it sounds like it was her idea.
Oh,
it sounds
cool.
Like she came to them and said, I have this idea. That is just pure conjecture on my part.
Okay.
Pure conjecture on my part.
But that would be pretty sweet if it ended up being something that was, like, respectful of the characters.
Mm-hmm. Now, longtime listeners know that you're not the biggest Star Trek fan. Like, you appreciate some things.
Yes.
You watch some movies with me.
Yes. I watched a lot of TNG as a kid, though.
And that's why I feel comfortable talking about this with you. Because you watched a lot of TNG growing up. You know Picard.
Oh, yeah.
You respect the character. You like the character. What is your knee-jerk reaction with this?
I think I'm okay with it. I mean, as long as they don't mess it up, you know, like, I guess, but I'm also not as close, like, even though I, you know, I enjoyed TNG, like, growing up and watching it and stuff like that, like, I was able to maybe watch it a little later because it was TNG, I guess for me, I'm just going to watch it because you watch it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I watched Discovery with you because you wanted to watch Discovery.
Because you love me.
I do.
It's not like if I'm at work and you have a few free hours or something like that, you're not going to go like,
I'm going to binge Discovery again. Or
let's watch some TNG.
Right, you know,
like, that's not going to happen. And that's fine.
Yeah.
I think as we've talked about before, I'm really good at compartmentalizing.
Okay.
Like, I'm really good at it.
I'm not so good at it.
So if this sucked, like, say they ruined Jean-Luc Picard, like, made him a horrible person, or, like, he's made some bad decisions or something like that, I feel like I'd be able to go, like, okay, that's one perspective of the
character. Really?
And then, because, okay, I think the reason why I'm okay with that is because the TV show, this is pretty well documented too, TV show Picard, some people say that TV show Picard is very different from movie Picard.
Okay.
And some of that's true. I don't think it's as extreme as some people would tell you, but there's a definite difference between the show and the movies. Like, in the movies, he's a little bit more jaded. He's a little bit more rough and tumble. He's a little bit more quick to fight. But I feel that's just kind of like a victim.
More energetic, a little bit more energetic? Or
I don't know if energetic's the right word. Has a little bit more anger.
Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
But I think that's a victim of cinematic storytelling as opposed to episodic television.
Sure.
Because you have 7 years to explore a character, and in the movies, you're just like, we have 120 minutes to thrill you with some action sequences.
That's true.
That can't always take place around a diplomatic table.
Right. That's very true. It's a different beast.
It's a different beast.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, like, I hope it's a mini series.
Okay.
I don't really want a continuing Picard series because I feel like that would...
Like an HBO mini series?
Yes, yes. Like, okay. Like Sharp Objects, which we're watching right now.
Okay.
Something, something...
Just like limited engagement.
Like 8 episodes, 10 episodes, and boom, that's the
story. I think that would be way better. I doubt that they'll do that.
Why?
I don't know. I just feel like the type of thing that Star Trek is... I feel like it's more.
Well, we've never gotten a Star Trek miniseries before.
That's true. So and maybe there's a promise of that.
We're in a new age. And I feel like, could you really land Patrick Stewart? Could you really nail him down for like a 5-year contract? I don't think you could.
He'd be like, okay, I'm going to do it, but I'll do 8 episodes.
Yeah, I think so.
That's true.
And he's older, you know, and he doesn't want to be tied down. And he probably doesn't want to work that
much.
Well,
and I feel like, especially nowadays, like even if you look at like Amy Adams and stuff like that, they're like, well, maybe I can get my Emmy. Not that they would get an Emmy for Star Trek because
they don't do that.
They
anymore.
Don't do that for sci-fi at all.
Unjustly.
Exactly. But I feel like a lot of stars that wouldn't do television before are kind of jumping at the chance to get in on miniseries.
It's true.
Because they can kind of dust off their acting chops and really get into a character.
It's
but for a limited amount of time.
It's low risk, high reward.
Right.
Where TV used to be the opposite. Now it's low risk, high reward.
Right. Well, especially with the production value that they throw at mm-hmm. miniseries versus I feel like they don't do that as much with the episodic as much.
And we're in a prestige era.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that is what's pretty exciting to me is to go back to the 24th century. Like just the end of like because it's going to be like we left the 24th century in the 70s in the 2370s. And so 20 years later we're going to be nearing the end of the 24th century and we could creep into the 25th century. And the idea of seeing new ships, new uniforms and not done in a retconned prequel where we try to shoehorn it into our established 50 years of canon.
Yeah.
The idea of having an open universe where you can tell any story you want and not worry about having to lock it into the days of Kirk or something like
that's
that.
That's true.
That's pretty exciting.
That's true. I feel like that's kind of the victim of Discovery right now is that everyone's like, well, but this happened mm-hmm. and this doesn't fit in that timeline or anything. You know, I mean, even though they've kind of gone away from that, I feel like they're constantly judged because of being a prequel type thing.
Very much so.
So get away from that and that's what go the other way. Yeah.
And I definitely feel there's more than a few times when I roll my eyes at Star Trek Discovery when they bend the rules or straight up break canon.
Oh, I know. I sit next to you.
Yeah. Where I'm just kind of like, ugh. Guys, but I try to keep that to myself, you know, like I don't like spew out hatred online constantly like some people, but you don't have to worry about that mm-hmm. with a show like this.
Mm-hmm.
And if Picard is different, it's because it's been 20 years.
That's true.
And people change.
That's true. I think we kind of talked about this before being on the show, but like maybe it'll be more of like a Logan type. Patrick Stewart was in that too.
Yeah.
But like maybe it'll be more of a Logan type thing where he's just like jaded and
he's tired.
He's tired and you know, he's going to help one last mission or something like that.
Now, I don't know if these are I hate overusing this term. I don't know if these are still considered canon or not. But there was a series of comic books that were a lead up to Star Trek 2009.
Okay.
And it showed Data as the captain of the Enterprise.
Oh.
And Picard was an ambassador. I think he might have been the ambassador of Vulcan or Romulus. I can't remember. Vulcan. I don't know. Something like that. He was an ambassador. And so I wonder if they're going to completely ignore those comic books because like when they came out, they were really building up, you know, Star Trek 2009, the J.J. Abrams reboot and everything like
that.
They were trying to say like, no, these comic books, they tell the story. They're canon.
Oh.
But I have a feeling that they might ignore those.
Okay.
So I'm wondering if he's going to be an ambassador or not, or if he ever did become an admiral, or if he took Kirk's advice and never let him promote him to admiral so that he would stay on the ship as long as possible. I don't know.
Interesting.
It's that I'm going to be very interested to see where he is in that. And on top of that, you actually brought this up, was the cameo possibilities are endless.
Yeah, that's what all I was thinking was like you could have anyone
from any series,
anyone,
Voyager, Deep Space Nine, Star Trek Generation, Star Trek Generation, the Next Generation.
Yeah, which would be very fun and such fan service to
be
bring.
So easy,
right? I mean, it's just that's just candy, right?
Yeah.
So that would be nice, I think.
And I think the first person that popped into both of our heads was Riker.
Yeah.
Because Jonathan Frakes is very much still involved with Star Trek, but behind the camera as a director. It makes you wonder, though, like, so many of these actors have moved on.
Right. Maybe they don't want to do Star Trek anymore.
Yeah, where they're not really, and even acting, you know, like, they're not really acting anymore.
True.
And you know, it's funny because, like, I would like to see some of the, I know it would be so nice to see, like, Riker and Troy and people like that, but I would love to see some of the lesser known actors, a little, not lesser known, but I mean, like, not as big as life, like Riker. Like, if you had, like, Nog, who he wanted to become a captain in Deep Space Nine. He was the first Ferengi in the Federation and Starfleet. And then he became, you know, like, I think he became like an ensign or lieutenant or something like that by the end of the show. You know, like those little things.
Sure.
You know,
yeah. Like that. Kind of like you really had to watch the show many times to really get, or not even, but like.
Not necessarily with Nog, but yeah, with,
but
I mean, on
that would
top
be
kind of
nice to have that type of thing where like you had to be like a true fan to really know what they're talking about or something like that.
Not just a next
Easter
gen
eggs.
Fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Not just a next gen fan, not just a Picard fan, but like a deep cut.
Right. Something right. Like that. They would have opportunities for that. But I think they would still have a big audience to be able to, like, well, so many people watch Next Gen or know of Captain Picard that you'd still have an audience watching it because he pulls a lot of clout.
Yeah. I mean out of all of the Star Trek shows, Next Generation was by far the most successful.
Right.
When it aired.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's the best, because that's a matter of opinion. I'm just saying it was definitely the most successful. So I think they're definitely smart in choosing Picard, because not only is Picard widely considered the best captain, Patrick Stewart is still hot right now.
Oh,
with his career.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is crazy.
I mean, he's just coming off Logan. Right. You're like, you brought up Logan. I mean, he gave an amazing performance and that was an amazing movie, and he's Professor X and he's in this, he's in that. He's just, yeah.
Yeah. He's unstoppable.
He's a Broadway star. He's a English star. So this got me thinking about so many things are coming back. You know, like this is, like Buffy's being rebooted. Roseanne got rebooted, and we won't get into that. But like so many things are continuing on. The X-Files, you brought up the X-Files. Right. That didn't get rebooted, but that was continued.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's interesting because the Picard series isn't going to be a reboot. It's not even a continuation of the Next Generation. It's they plucked out that one character, and so I guess it's a spinoff.
Spinoff,
it'd
right?
Be a spinoff.
Yeah,
that's like the definition of a spinoff. Yeah, right. Yeah. Even though he was the lead in the Next Generation,
that's true.
I wonder if
that is unique.
That's unique, right?
Is there anything else like that where they've taken the lead and then they've like picked it back up?
I don't think so, but. What I was leading to actually might be that where Frasier was a spinoff of Cheers. Now, Frasier was by no means the lead. Ted Danson was. But he was the lead in Frasier.
Right.
And right now, there's a rumor that he's shopping around for a spinoff of Frasier. So it'd be a spinoff of a spinoff starring the same person.
Right.
And so that's
what do you call that? Like, I feel like there's not a word for it yet.
Yeah, there's right? not. There's not. And the rumors aren't that it's going to be like the same cast because you can't get some of them back.
Okay.
For obvious reasons. So it doesn't sound like it's going to be a continuation of Frasier that was set in Seattle and, you know, him living with his dad and being heavily involved with his brother. But it sounds like, and because at the end of the show, he's flying to Chicago to be with Laura Linney.
Right.
So maybe it's going to be that, or maybe he's moved on from Laura Linney, or maybe he's moved on from Chicago and it takes place someplace else. And maybe he's not a radio host anymore. Maybe he's on TV. I don't know. Like, it could be anything. But yeah, so it's a spinoff of a spinoff, but with the same character. So it's not technically a continuation, just like the Picard show. Yeah, we're in new territory.
We are. Here. And it's almost interesting why this is happening. Like, you know, because, I mean, television has been around for a while.
Yeah.
And it feels like we keep kind of trying to go back to this like, safe zone that we had. And I guess it was the 90s, right? Like, all these are kind of the 90s shows.
Yes.
So it's almost like we're kind of, in some ways, I feel like we're tired of, well, look what we're mostly sitcoms, right? Mm-hmm. Of our day right now. And I feel like we're kind of going back and being like, oh, I just wish that we had the TGIF, you know, ish. I mean, I know Frasier wasn't a part of TGIF, don't get me wrong. But like, kind of grab some of those that we really loved, like Buffy and X-Files and Frasier and Roseanne. And I wasn't a fan of that one. But yeah. and grab them and like, let's see what they're doing now.
And even Xena, like that was going to be rebooted with a new cast and everything. And then it was greenlit. They were starting writing scripts. They were doing everything and writing the Bible. And then it got clashed down. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember exactly why, but it was just interesting. And Charmed is being rebooted.
Really?
Yeah. It looks god awful. I mean, just straight up garbage. How do I phrase this? Like, it doesn't just look like, oh, that's not for me, or like, oh, I'm not really interested.
It just looks bad.
No, it looks horrible.
Oh, no.
Like, to the point where, like, if I was a studio exec, I'd go, nope, scrap it. We're not airing this. I have a reputation. How did this get greenlit?
Oh, jeez.
It looks bad.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that was in the 90s, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have mixed feelings about it, because am I going to watch Frasier if they bring it back? Yes.
Especially if Kelsey Grammer.
Right, exactly. Am I going to watch, this new Picard show with Patrick Stewart? Yes.
Because Patrick Stewart's in it.
But there is that feeling as a fan where you're scared. And you're like, do we just let it lie where it was and just imagine what happened in the future? Or do we continue on and have some more fan service where we can see those characters again? Like, it's just weighing the odds, I feel like, for us. And yeah, I don't know. It depends on the show, I think, too.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Because there are certain things that have a huge sense of finality to it.
Like Gilmore Girls. Where it ended perfectly. And then they brought it back to screw it up.
And I feel like...
We don't like reboots. Did you realize that? We don't like them. We don't like reboots. We do not like these, whatever you call them, spinoffs. We really don't.
Yeah, I'm trying to... What's... Revival.
Revival. Revival. Okay. Is that the word. Okay, we don't like them.
I guess...
Let's be honest with ourselves.
We didn't like the X-Files revival. We didn't like the Gilmore Girls revival.
Trying to think of one other one that
we didn't like. The Arrested Development revival.
No, we did not.
Oh man, is there a revival we enjoyed?
No,
I can't think of it. Now, I like reboots sometimes. Like, I like the reboots for the Star Trek movies, except for Into Darkness. But I like that
that's
universe.
That's different, though. I think you can separate it again because it's different actors.
Mm-hmm. Different actors. So different
it might be yeah. So like you can separate from Kirk and. You know,
Shatner.
Yeah,
and
you can kind of separate those more easily when you see a different face. Whereas if you bring back the same actor that you feel like is Kirk, I think it's harder to do.
Yeah, some people they had that. Some people had some issue when Star Trek Generations came out, the first Next Generation movie where Kirk was in it, and no one liked how they killed him off.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody hated it. I didn't mind it. I was a kid when it came out. I didn't really mind it. I thought it was nice because he sacrificed himself and he had a nice moment with Picard. I thought it was cool. But a lot of people hated it because he didn't die on a ship. He didn't die on the bridge.
Okay. And that was the way he was supposed to go.
Yeah, I get it. And also, if at the end of Undiscovered Country, it's beautiful. Mm. It's the entire crew is on the ship of the Enterprise. And he says... Like where to, Captain? He says, second star to the right and straight on till morning. And then they ride off into the sunset. And then that's the end of the movie. And that's the end of their franchise. And it's beautiful. And then he came
back. You're
getting
emotional.
I am. Yeah. I love Undiscovered Country. Yeah. And I love that send off. And then they wanted Kirk, Bones, and Spock to come back. But DeForest Kelly and Leonard Nimoy read the script. And they're just like, there's no reason for us to come back.
It's just so interesting as an actor, like, almost to know your character so well that you don't need to come back. Yeah. Like, you don't need that paycheck. You don't need... Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you're so dedicated to that character that you're playing that you're like, no, it would be wrong if I came back.
But Shatner is such a glutton for media. And he loves the attention. And so he'll never say no to anything. Like, he was angry that he wasn't in the Abrams reboot. And we're just like, dude, your character died.
Right. It doesn't make sense, but oh well.
Like, you were there.
Yeah, I just think it's harder to separate the two. I don't know.
It is. But the thing is, like, with X-Files, like, I'm able to separate that. Like, I hated that.
I struggle.
I hated that so much. I hated that. We didn't even watch season 11.
No.
I don't even feel the need to.
No.
And we watched season 10.
I got so burned in season 10 that I just felt like I don't need any more information.
But, like, when we go back and watch the movie and watch the previous seasons, I'm able to enjoy those because they're great stories. And I just think of those characters in that moment. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily what's to come.
See, I struggle with that. Like, I feel like when I have that knowledge, then it's in there. Like, it kind of penetrates some of the things I love. You know, like, I know I always bring this example up. What am I going to say?
The special editions.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like when you tamper with, like, something that people love, like Star Wars. And
literal perfection.
Yeah. Then if you taint it, then it like is in my brain then.
But I feel like we've had this conversation before.
Of course
where
we have.
With a special edition. We wouldn't be nerds if we didn't talk about the special editions.
Yeah. But I mean, we've already talked about the special editions before, but
what I was going to say is, like, the special editions is a different case because it's not like them. Okay. Here's the thing. What The Last Jedi did to Luke is different than what they did to Vader in the special editions.
But I'm saying to you that I don't like what they did in The Last Jedi. My least favorite part of all of the new Star Wars movies is what they did to the original characters.
Right.
So, like, the knowledge of Luke, Leia, and Han, the fact that Leia and Han are not together, the fact that they killed off, you know, Luke. Like, all these things, those bother me. Mm-hmm. And it does taint it a little bit in my head when I see, you know, the perfect versions.
Not for me.
No?
Because I'm just like, when I look at episode 4, 5, and 6, I'm just like, this is the saga. This is their adventure. This is Luke completing his destiny and Anakin finding redemption. And I look at the prequels and I'm like, that's their saga. That's their story. Mm-hmm. And then when I look at the sequel trilogy, I'm just like, okay, even though it's not really that great, that's their saga. That's their story. That's their deal. You know, like, that's Luke then. This is Luke now. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
So when I see the end of Return of the Jedi, like, I'm clapping along with everyone. I'm singing.
I am too. I guess just for me, I need to do more of that separation, but it's just harder for me.
I get it. And I'm not like criticizing you for it. I'm just saying that. Like the special,
you're able to do it.
I'm able to do it, and with the special editions, that is changing already existing material.
That's
not
true.
Adding on to it,
right?
That's the difference.
Like the of Darth Vader.
I think that's where the sin mm-hmm. happens. Mm-hmm. Like that's the fandom sin. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to continue on and you do something that I didn't expect or I didn't like, fine. That's your right.
Yeah,
you know, like that's your right as a creator. But to go back and to change something and make it worse. I can't, I'm always thinking about that because I'm watching the same scene, but just in a different way. Like I'm watching it how it was originally intended, but I'm constantly thinking about the crap version
mm-hmm.
that was made later on.
Right.
Like, but it's different from me watching Return of the Jedi where I'm looking at Luke and he's celebrating and he's defeating Vader as opposed to looking at Luke when he's fighting Kylo Ren. Like those are two different things.
Right. I get that. I get that.
You know?
I do understand that.
Okay.
Yeah, I get it.
All right. Well, I think we want to know what you guys think about revivals.
Yeah.
Or what do you think? Like, there's a lot of Star Trek fans who listen to our show. So let us know what you think about the Picard series. Should they leave Picard alone and then try something else? Or are you just jazzed that we're going to be living in a post-Nemesis world? Or do you think they should, like, go way far in the future so that we can't get any next-gen cameos, Deep Space Nine or Voyager cameos or anything like that? What do you think? Like, what do you like? I mean, this is happening whether we like it or not, but we want to know your opinion. So what you can do is you can go to thenerdparty.com/contact, select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu, fill out the form, it'll send us an email. You can also find us on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Just search The Nerd Party or just go to thenerdparty.com. You can find all of our backlogged episodes. And all of our other shows too. We got Star Wars shows, Star Trek shows, Harry Potter shows, everything that you possibly think of. We got new content coming at you every single day of the week. So please go to thenerdparty.com. I love you.
I know.
Scully.
Yes.
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.